This month's theme is sanctuary. I consulted my Oxford Dictionary to see what it had to say about that word. I wanted to be certain I had it right. When I started, I found that it would be harder to get the meaning of sanctuary wrong. It has not only a myriad of meanings, but too many similarly rooted words for me to go into here. Just a few: sanctum, a holy place or study den; sanction, approval or encouragement given to an action by custom or tradition. There were many more derivatives of the word, but one which seemed a little out of step with all the others was sanctimonious, making a show of sanctity or piety. While I'm hoping the words spoken today in this space we call our sanctuary might cause us all to think a little, I trust that they will not come across as sanctimonious. There are so many words we Unitarian Universalists borrow from traditional faiths. There are some you use who'd prefer we not use them. Are we threatened by terms like prayer, holy, spiritual, or, God forbid, God? Do those concepts somehow conflict with our identity as free-thinking individuals? Are they nothing more than useless relics of the past? The first time I realized that this might be an issue with UUs was during the General Assembly in Boston. I think it was 2002. Then president of the Unitarian Universalist Association, Bill Sinkford, had suggested that we not be fearful of using traditional religious language in our services. Well, you might have thought he was suggesting a secession from the UUA and maybe even from the USA to form a new country, let alone a new religion. The Boston newspapers carried the story, reporting on this, quote, bombshell. We had dinner in Boston with some UU friends that evening. There was talk about forming a new religion rather than expose oneself to religious language. Could my newfound religious faith be exhibiting a kind of closed-mindedness? Was it possible that this was a rather strange and unique form of bigotry? If you take the time to browse our hymnals, you'll find many references to God, the use of the word faith, spirit, spiritual, prayer, many, many other traditionally religious-oriented words. Heck, just look at your order service. You'll find reference to some rather traditional religious-sounding words in it. I know that we often use and misuse much of the traditional terminology of Judaism, Christianity, and to some extent Islam, Hinduism, and other religious beliefs. Now, this room is called a sanctuary. In the past few weeks, sanctuary has taken on different but all correct usages and nuances of the word. But I don't think that the term sanctuary is limited to the physical space alone. Myself, I have indeed sought a personal sanctuary in this space. On September 11th, 2001, Diane and I were in the mountains of eastern Arizona, enjoying a few days of fishing and reconnecting with some of her relatives. I slept late that morning. We had driven all the way from California the day before, and the bed in this cabin we had rented, while it had seen better days, felt like cloud nine to me. I will confess that I am a news junkie, and I turned on the TV when I was mostly conscious. For 5 years, I watched in disbelief as the very building I had commuted into for 5 years was destroyed, along with the thousands of people in them. How many of those people had I known or passed by every day we were gone? I'll never know. We had only been members of this church for less than a year, yet all I wanted to do was come here, to be in this sanctuary. The morning after we arrived, I knew where I had to be. It wasn't a revelation to me that this place had come to mean so much to me. I went alone, and to be honest, I was relieved not to see anyone else in the sanctuary. I sat alone and I cried. I can only describe my emotions as feeling welcome, being protected, being held in a spirit of love. While I probably didn't realize it on a conscious level, I was meditating, and silently, me, Mr. Doubting Thomas, probably praying. To whom or to what was I praying? What was I praying for? It's not clear to me, but what is clear is that I was experiencing some sort of religious experience. The physical sanctuary was providing me with personal sanctuary. I was meditating, another word love to use. And while that word may conjure up sitting erect in a chair, both feet on the floor, palms facing up, I don't think I was in that physical position, but rather slumped down with my legs crossed and my arms hanging loosely at my sides. Later, much later, I came to the conclusion that one need not take a mandatory physical position to achieve a spiritual experience. And so it is with much love of the terminology of religion. I know there are some who will disagree with me about this statement, but overall I'm happy to see that we acknowledge some of the beauty and passion of those who came before us. And as Unitarian Universalists, we are not impervious to that beauty and that passion, although we may see it in different ways than originally intended. As a young Jewish kid growing up in the 1940s, I attended public schools. The separation of church and state was being violated regularly, with religious pageants and celebrating Easter and Christmas, religious Christmas cards, and not just popular Christmas songs. We were talking about, "Oh, Come All Ye Faithful," and the First Noel, Christmas in the truest sense of the word, and here I was sitting there, not knowing what it was about, but knowing I liked it. From time to time, we have guest speakers at this church, and while they may have been invited to speak on other subjects, nevertheless, they, as far as all of us do, bring their own beliefs, ideas, wisdom with them. And if those beliefs spill over into their presentation, wouldn't it be part of our UU culture of welcoming to treat them as guests and not as intruders? And occasionally, if one of our guests seems to be on the precipice of evangelizing, can we be at least understanding? After all, if part of their belief is that they can offer us salvation and eternal bliss, wouldn't it be selfish as fellow human beings for them not to try to share it? UUs often say that this is a church where one does not have to leave their beliefs at the door. Let's concentrate on some of the words we use, UU versions, such as holidays, such as Christmas, Hanukkah, Earth Day, Ramadan, Day of the Dead, and all the other rituals we commemorate in this sanctuary. And while we commemorate them as Unitarian Universalists, all at the same time, we do so with the respect, love, and dignity for their origins. I have relatives who don't belong to any organized religion, and I am charitably and generously including UUs as organized. And while they consider themselves apart from religion, I find they have nearly identical views regarding ethics and morality as do we. But they have just eschewed all references, even historical religious references, from their meetings. No hymns, no reference to a higher power, no religious celebrations. Again, good and accepting folk who believe, just as many here believe, that organized faith has too many rules and rituals. But speaking only for myself, but suspecting I echo the sentiments of many others in this room, not all UUs are nurtured. I am nurtured not only by our credo, but by the more traditional aspects of faith generally. I want to hold on to what was good and decent with those who came before, and I want to use the terms prayer and God and holy and worship without being accused of UU blasphemy. Would the words I offer here today be less meaningful if we eliminated all things spiritual from our services? I've always been uncomfortable with the words delivering a sermon or homily as applied to my own non-clerical efforts to speak from this pulpit. A more appropriate term for my efforts would be, rather than delivering a sermon, reading an essay. But sermon somehow seems to carry more weight. Restricting sermons to clergy probably makes some sense, but that's what it says in the order of service, and I'll take it as an honor. Once after leading a service here, someone jokingly referred to me as Reverend Bob. Of course, I am no more entitled to that designation than I would be to doctor or, for that matter, Your Highness. We often refer to our ordained UU ministers as reverends, and of course, that is a proper address. He or she didn't just decide to pick it out of a list of titles. Our ordained ministers were educated and trained into the ministry and the title. But when we say the word reverend, as you use, just how are we thinking about it? Again, I speak for myself. I certainly don't consider a minister as my intermediate to God, yet at the same time, I can revere her or him as a fellow human being who is reverent as well as being called reverend. I think this denomination, specifically this Star King Church, benefits from the vestiges of our historical past. I don't think we are threatened by the use of religious language or even religious thought. I think it is inconsistent with the liberal, welcoming faith we profess. And the last thing I find disturbing is that if we are who we say we are, why do some of us feel so uneasy if a religious religion contrary utterance is made in our... let me repeat that sentence since I messed it up royally. The last thing I find disturbing is that if we are who we say we are, why do some of us feel uneasy if a religiously contrary utterance is made in our presence? I'm a strong believer in the separation of church and state. I believe the words under God do not belong in the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm happy that there is a ban on prayer in public schools and government places, but I don't think we need a constitutional amendment to ban prayer in a UU church. The famous Jewish scholar Hillel once made a statement which has often been quoted in many different categories, but mostly about religion. Hillel used the Jewish Torah as his base, but I think his pronouncement could be and has often been adopted by other religious faiths. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. That is the religion. The rest is commentary. While probably an intentional oversimplification, I think it applicable to every faith tradition and moral code I have ever heard of. Wouldn't that concept be a wonderful thing if every human at least tried to live by it? Would it apply to those who now use religious faith to divide us? Would it be beneficial to us if we entered into a place where those who call that place home could listen, tolerate, and respect what we have brought to that place? And wouldn't it be appropriate for us to welcome strangers with different views on faith and religion when they are the guests and we are the hosts and hostesses? Now, I'm not suggesting that we walk into a Christian church, synagogue, mosque, or temple and attempt to Unitarianize others. And it would be equally inappropriate for others to do that in this church's sanctuary. But I would consider it unacceptable either for myself as a visitor and no less for a guest here to not allow that our individual life's experience has led us to different conclusions. I don't like to have my faith disrespected, but there is a line between merely making someone cognizant of differences and trying to convert them in their own place of sanctity. The attitude must be consistent, whether you are the guest or the host. So as I began, I come back to the concept of sanctuary. I find sanctuary, and for that matter, meditation, in so many places, of course, including this place in which we gather today. I enjoy the Wednesday meditations that we do in the sanctuary every Wednesday evening. But I also experience sanctity and the peace of meditation in my recliner, in my chair, my bed, while washing my car. I even find sanctuary and a place to meditate in my car, although I do caution, I do not recommend doing this while actually driving the car. Let's be welcoming, not just to those with whom we agree, but to those who challenge our ideas. I get pretty annoyed when religious folk ring my doorbell to preach to me. It's an intrusion, and my home is my castle, my refuge, and, yes, my sanctuary. But while I do not agree with either their beliefs or their methods of sharing them, I admire their willingness to have doors slammed in their faces in an effort to bestow their most fervently held beliefs and thoughts of saving my soul. I do not for a moment deny their sincerity. If I believed as they do, I would make every effort to take my fellow humans to paradise with me. Can we think that way of the people who visit us at home, on the street corners, or here in this sanctuary? I think it's a UU thing to do. Famous lawyer Clarence Darrow, having been accused of being an atheist, replied, "I'm not an atheist, I'm an agnostic. Atheists are too dogmatic." Is it possible for Unitarian Universalists to be too dogmatic? Welcome. Again, how we love that term. This is a church where you don't have to leave your beliefs at the door. Really? Should we add to that lovely quote, "as long as your beliefs are the same as mine"? I pray not. May we come together in this sanctuary and open our hearts to our neighbors and guests and to learn from their beliefs as we reaffirm our own. Thank you.